73. Tariana. They spent another 2 days in the cave, eating mice, along with a rabbit that Marcus managed to catch in a snare, and then they started on their way. At first, walking was agony, every strained muscle in her body screaming that she sit still. But gradually, the pain lessened as she loosened up. It was a relief to be in different terrain, the quiet of the forest broken only by the soft tromp of the pine boughs strapped to their feet and the occasional chitter of a squirrel. But even without the endless wind they'd been exposed to in the teeth, there was no denying it was getting colder. At night, they made a shelter from the canvas Marcus had taken from the cave, one of them always remaining on watch to ensure that the fire burned high to ward off the chill. Even with it, by morning, she was cold and stiff, and the pain of moving was worse than the first day. "How long until we reach somewhere with people?" she grumbled. The rabbit was long gone, and her stomach ached with hunger. Marcus lifted his head and pointed. Shielding her eyes with one hand, Tariana caught sight of several plumes of smoke rising above the trees. "A village. What's the plan?" He scratched at his chin.
"Given this village is on the route to the Via Mortis, it will have lodgings of some sort that we can rent. And those living here will be used to Empire messengers coming through, so they won't be quite as likely to kill me as those on the other side of the teeth. Still, I think it's best not to mention my Legion affiliations."
"Agreed. But who are we, and why are we coming from the direction of the teeth at this time of year? We need a story." Except there was no explanation that wouldn't invite questions.
"We'll tell them that we came from Ygrisia,"
he said, naming a city on the North Sea that was only reachable by ship during the summer.
"And that your family did not approve of our union, so we ran and fell in with the nomads who helped us reach the teeth."
Tariana's cheeks colored. She didn't wish to admit that a good portion of this story was something she fantasized about in idle moments. "Okay.
And if they cause us trouble, then..."
He touched the hilt of his gladius and started walking.
"Don't you dare kill anyone!"
She scuttled after him, nearly tripping over her own feet. "The answer is not always violence."
"I promise not to kill anyone who doesn't try to kill me first."
The village wasn't large by any stretch of the imagination, but it was surprisingly full of people given the number of buildings. Many of them seemed to be trappers here to sell their furs to merchants who'd subsequently transport the goods to larger towns and cities for sale. The best of the goods were sent into Celandriel, where the most coin was to be had. But even accounting for that, the crowds seemed thick. Women and children buying cups of steamed milk and sweet cakes from vendors, and the village square was strung with garlands and tiny lanterns, the sight of which caused Tariana to count her fingers, trying to determine the date. It's the last night of fall, and tomorrow, winter officially begins, she said. It was not lost on her that if she and Marcus had fallen through the Xanthier a few weeks later, they'd never have survived. "There's going to be a festival tonight." Marcus didn't answer, but his brow furrowed, his blue-gray eyes sweeping the town as though he expected to be accosted at any moment.
"There's the inn," he said. "Hopefully, there are still rooms."
As it turned out, the majority of people were staying with friends or family, so the inn was quiet compared to the bustle outside. But that didn't stop the innkeeper from wrinkling his nose,
looking Marcus up and down, like he'd rather throw them outside than rent them a room. Though she wasn't certain whether that was because they were dressed in clothes fabricated from blankets and badly cured wolf hide, or because Marcus's coloring marked him as quite obviously from Celandor. Perhaps both.
"Late in the year for travel,"
he said in perfect Cell.
"It is,"
Marcus answered, not giving an explanation to the implied question.
"And we'd rather not sleep on the ground tonight if it can be avoided."
"Looks as though you've spent more than a few living rough. Smells like you've been living rough too."
"And we grow weary of it. We can pay if that's your concern."
"That's not my concern."
The man rested his elbows on the counter.
"What's a Marin girl doing this far from the sea in the company of a Cell boy?"
"My ship has been keeping to the North Sea to avoid the Cell," Tariana answered swiftly, seeing Marcus's temper was starting to rise. "And they took issue with me taking up with him, so I left."
"Should have listened to your family."
Next to her, Marcus shifted restlessly, so she stepped on his foot. "Believe me, I know. But my bed is made, so I have to sleep in it. Preferably in a room in your lovely establishment." Reaching into a pocket, she extracted a silver hair bead she'd removed earlier. The rest of her hair pulled back in her hood to hide her true wealth. All their coinage was unmarked, which would raise questions. "We'll only be here one night."
"One night,"
the innkeeper said, his reluctance fading as he examined the silver bead.
"But first, you wash up and burn everything you're wearing. Don't want you lousing up my linens."
Then he smiled.
"For another one of these beads, I'll supply you with clothes that don't smell like rotting wolf hide."
"Gladly." Handing over another bead, she added, "Now, point me in the direction of the bath." Arms full of clothes that the innkeeper had provided, Tariana followed Marcus through the snow behind the inn, heading toward a small structure with smoke rising from a chimney.
"I can't wait to sit in a tub. I've never been this filthy in my entire life."
Marcus glanced back at her.
"In the interior, the Cybernese don't bathe. That's a sauna."
"A what?"
"It's basically a box that fills with steam, and you sweat the dirt off, or so I've heard."
"That sounds awful."
Scowling, she jerked open the door to the little structure, her eyes slowly adjusting to the small front area, which contained only a bench and a few hooks stuck into the side wall from which lengths of toweling hung. At the far end was another door, heat radiating from it. Behind her, Marcus shut the front entrance and latched the bolt, then began pulling off articles of clothing and tossing them on the floor.
"Put anything that needs burning in a pile," he said. "I'll deal with it after we're clean."
She watched him out of the corner of her eye, biting her lip as he shed the last of his garments and wrapped one of the towels around his waist. She hadn't seen him stripped down like this since they left Aranoquia, and, filth aside, he made a fine feast for the eyes. He had always been lean, but their ordeal had stripped away what little softness he might have possessed, leaving behind only taut skin over hard muscle.
"I'm going to see how this works."
Weapons in hand, he eased past her and opened the door, sending a blast of heat rolling over her.
"Come in when you're ready."
Feeling suddenly self-conscious, Tariana transferred her few belongings to the pockets of her new clothes, which she hung on one of the hooks. Then she pulled off her disgusting garments and tossed them in a pile. She examined her own body,
and made a face at the grayish film of dirt that covered her now much leaner form, her prized curves eaten away by starvation. Taking a deep breath, she wrapped a towel around her body, picked up the soap and cloths she'd bargained into her arrangement with the innkeeper, and then went into the other room. Marcus was standing in front of a stove, ladling water over hot rocks. Hissing clouds of steam rose to fill air that was already thick with it. Other than the stove, there was only a long bench against one wall, two basins of water, and a large bucket of snow. Mercifully, it was dark, the only light the fire burning in the stove. Taking one of the basins, Tariana set to scrubbing herself with the soap and rag. The water that ran off her was gray and foul. It's no wonder he didn't want to give us a room. Marcus made a noise of agreement from where he was still examining the workings of the stove. Seemingly content he understood it, he took one of the rags from her, tossed aside his towel, and set to work on erasing weeks' worth of dirt. Her eyes roved over his body, drinking him in, heat rising low in her belly as he squeezed a cloth over one shoulder and the water sluiced down his back. The tattooed 1519 was as harsh and black as ever against his golden skin, something they needed to keep hidden. But that seemed a distant concern. Soap? She jumped, her eyes jerking upward to find him smirking at her. And with a muttered curse, she tossed the bar, laughing when he fumbled it. They worked in silence, pausing only to ladle water onto the hot rocks. When she was finished, Tariana stretched out on the bench with her towel wrapped around her body, relishing the feeling of being clean. Not quite as good as my tub on the quincense, but not bad. Not bad at all. I don't remember the last time I sat in a tub. She felt the bench creak beneath her as he sat at the far end. Then the silence was broken by the rasp of a blade over a whetstone. Did you ever go to the baths in Zalendriel when you were young? I've heard they are the purest form of luxury. He paused in his sharpening. No, they aren't for children. The heat was making her mind wander, and she thought of the new baths that had recently been built in Zalendriel. The project funded by Cassius of all people. She'd heard that the warmest pool was filled by a massive dragon made of solid gold. Once upon a time, she might have asked Lydia to take her. But now, the only thing she could hope for was that if her traitorous ex-friend availed herself of the waters, that she'd pick up a nasty foot fungus. Shoving aside her anger at Lydia, she said, "Keep that up, and you're going to sharpen the blade clean off."
Best you hope not, or the beard will have to stay.
Eyeing the edge of the knife, Marcus grimaced.
Not the ideal tool.
Setting it aside, he soaped his face, then lifted the blade to his cheek. Stop! His gaze flicked to her.
Don't tell me you've grown fond of it.
Hardly, she rolled her eyes. But I am fond of your face, so I'd prefer you not cut it off. Come here, I'll do it.
How is it that you know how to shave a man's face?
There was an edge to his voice, and she smirked when she realized it was jealousy. Wouldn't you like to know? He glowered at her, and she laughed. My great-great-uncle used to sail aboard the Quincense with us before he passed. He was ancient as the stones, but even though his hands shook like a boy working up the courage to ask a girl to dance, he insisted on always being clean-shaven. So, us young folk had to learn to do it. Was considered something of a punishment because his breath was bad enough to make your eyes bleed. Marcus's brow furrowed, and she knew he was trying to determine whether it was the truth or a yarn.
Come here. Let me dazzle you with my skill with the blade.
Sighing, he rolled onto his back, resting his head in her lap, and she shivered as his hair brushed the bare skin of her thighs. Draping the cloth over her knee and setting the basin within reach, she took up the knife and carefully scraped it across his cheek. How long will it take to reach Celandriel? His eyes were closed, steam beating on his lashes.
We'll head to the Savio, where we can hire or buy a riverboat. Then it will be another week or two on the water.
A matter of weeks, and then it would be over. She'd rejoin the Quincents, and he his legion. And then it would be war. It could be no other way, not with the Senate once again able to exercise control over him and the 37th. More legions would join them, and they'd spread their footprint, conquering in the name of the Empire, as they always had. The thought made her eyes burn, so she focused instead on the task, the hard lines of his cheekbones and jaw emerging as she worked, the scent of soap filling her nose. Marcus kept his eyes closed the entire time, the 37 on his right pectoral rising and falling with each breath. Gods, but she hated that number. Hated the way it bound him. Hated how it would take him away. Done, she murmured, setting aside the knife and wiping the rest of the soap from his cheeks. Opening one eye, he ran a finger down his jaw, then sat up, twisting so that he was facing her.
You do good work, Captain. Thank you.
I did it for myself. He laughed, but then they both fell silent, the only sound the rise and fall of their breaths. She wanted to kiss him, wanted to run her hands over all those hard muscles, wanted to wrap her legs around him and vanquish the space between them. But she didn't move. Marcus had ended things between them because neither of them could trust the other. Except, with all they'd been through together, she didn't think there was anyone she trusted more than him, with her life and with her heart. As if hearing her thoughts, Marcus leaned toward her, one hand curving around her head, and then he kissed her. A soft press of the lips that sent heat coursing through her body, the sensation amplified as her own lips parted, his tongue stroking over hers. His other hand moved to her waist, sending a shiver through her body. This was what she wanted. He was who she wanted. But pulling back from his kiss, she reached up to brush his damp hair off his forehead, sandy locks longer than she'd ever seen them. She trailed her fingers down the side of his face, down the hard line of his jaw, her thumb stroking over the scar that marked his high cheekbone. Gods help her, but he was more beautiful than any man had a right to be. Meeting his gaze, his blue-gray eyes dilated near black in the dim light, she whispered, "Are you sure?" Her breath caught on the words, and she swallowed hard, her insides a mix of desire and trepidation. "Because I don't want to do this if an hour from now you decide you wish you hadn't. I can't be one of your regrets." Marcus closed his eyes, and she could feel his mind turning over her words, weighing and measuring. And her heart was racing because there was an answer she wanted, but only if he meant it. Then he opened his eyes and said,
"There is nothing in this world that could make me regret you, Tyrianna, because there is no one in this world who matters more to me than you."
Her breath caught, her heart racing at a speed she'd not known possible. "Kiss me." It wasn't soft this time, but deep and fierce, driven by a need too long denied. Never in her life had she been kissed like this,
and never would she again, because there was no one else like him. No one else capable of making her blood pound like he did, who could make her body burn hot like he did, who could make the world fall away like he did. He pulled her onto his lap, her knees on the wooden bench to either side of him, her towel falling to the ground. She whimpered into his mouth as his hands slid down over the curve of her bottom, pulling her tight against him before stroking up her spine, the motion sending thrills of pleasure through her body. She tangled her fingers in his hair, her back arching as his lips moved to her throat, his teeth scraping her skin.
"You are so beautiful."
His voice was rough, nearly a growl.
"Every inch of you is perfect."
Then he hooked an arm under her, lifting her up, his breath hot against her skin as his other hand cupped her breast. The feel of his thumb brushing over the tip made her body buck, only his arm around her hips keeping her from falling back. But the sensation paled as he drew her other breast into his mouth, tongue teasing her, explosions of pleasure jolting through her, making her sob his name because there was nothing but him.
"Tell me what you want,"
he said, licking the condensed steam from her skin. His eyes flicked up to meet hers, the desire in them fueling the heat rising in her core. Except she didn't know how to articulate what she wanted, none of her fumbling and awkward experiences with other boys having prepared her for Marcus. Their one time together feeling a lifetime ago. All she knew was that she wanted him. Everything. He gave her a dark smile, and then he lowered her onto the bench, the towel she'd used soft against her back. He shifted onto his knees, hands resting to either side of her as he leaned down to kiss her lips, her throat, her breasts, her navel, moving down and down. And Tariana's heart skipped as she realized his intent a second before his hands slipped under her knees, pushing them apart. And then she sobbed his name, one hand braced against the wall next to her, the other catching at his head, tangling in his hair. Her eyelids squeezed shut, moisture from the steaming rocks of the sauna dripping down her cheeks, each droplet sending thrills of sensation across her skin. Tension unlike anything she'd experienced built in her, every muscle tightening as the feel of his touch moved her closer to the edge of the cliff. But as she felt herself teetering on the edge, she gasped out, "Not yet," and pushed him away. Sitting upright, she kissed him even as she slipped her hand between them, watched as his eyelids drifted shut, as his body shuddered, a smile rising to her lips as he groaned,
"Tariana."
And then she whispered into his ear, "Everything." His hands tightened around her hips, lifting her, and then her back was against the wall, her legs around his waist. She dug her nails into his shoulders as he kissed her, trailing her fingers down the hard muscles of his back, the feel of him pressed against her, the most excruciating of torments.
"You sure?"
he said, pulling back to look at her.
"Please tell me you're sure."
"Yes," she gasped, needing him. "Now." The feel of them coming together nearly shattered her. Not just the pleasure, but the rightness of it. They belonged with each other, to each other, even if the rest of the world would never understand and would do everything it could to separate them. "Don't stop," she said, between desperate kisses, her tension once again at the brink. "Please, don't stop." In answer, he let go of one of her legs,
her foot dropping to brace against the bench next to them. His hand curved around her hip, moving between them and sending her over the brink. She sobbed his name as light burst bright in her eyes, sensation radiating from her core out to the tips of her toes, only to be followed by another wave, then another, leaving her muscles shaking and weak. Marcus kissed her, his teeth catching her bottom lip, his breathing ragged, his body tensing. And only then did her head clear enough to say, "We can't. I might get pregnant." Knowing full well that they were already playing with fire. He caught hold of her hips, lifting her, his head resting against her shoulder as a shudder ran through him, her name on his lips. Marcus held her for a long time, their breathing ragged. Then he slowly lowered her to the ground, their eyes locking. "You all right?" she said softly, part of her still afraid that he'd pull away. His mouth curved into a smile that warmed her heart. The reverent way he looked at her making her eyes prick. Lowering his head, he kissed her, and she pulled herself against him, the steam having dissipated and a chill taking over the air. "More hot rocks," she said between kisses. "I'm cold."
"And I'm hungry," he said. "Let's see if they have something better than mice."